Next, Viviana Ramirez will talk briefly about the two high moments of literacy in 20th century Chile, namely, pardon me, the Christian Democrat regime of Eduardo Frei Montalva and the socialist government of Salvador Allende. Please note in the pronunciation here when Viviana says Frei, distinct from Freire. Paulo Freire, Brazilian educator, Eduardo Frei Montalva was the Christian Democrat president. Viviana.
Good afternoon, everyone. I will try to make my presentation, but I'm going to show you something first, if I'm able to work with this computer. If not, we have to find an expert. Now, if I can go to there. What happened here? Oh, yes, it's there. Doesn't want to come out.
Double click?
Yes. We historians are famously low tech. Are there people here who know about these things?
Okay, well, like Robert said, I am going to talk about two different kind of government. The first one is Christian Democratic, where Eduardo Frei Montalva was led in 1964 to 1967, and then the Popular Unity government led from Salvador Allende from 1970 to 1973. Okay? Now, first thing, the Christian Democratic program. This one started in 1966 when the United States launched the Alianza for the Progreso, designed to reverse the influence of Cuban Revolution through the Latin America and stimulate the development of liberal capitalism as an alternative. The Alianza slowed down the development of the popular revolution through the 60s and the 70s, especially to the masses program focused on economic, political, and cultural intervention, the one they financed. During the 60s, state of policy is on literature and religion was divided in two parts. Now, let's go and see Chile. In Chile, the Alliance financed a number of education programs. And here we saw in 1964 until a lot of school appeared, but they differentiated two kinds of school. In the rich suburb, they did like humanistic scientific, where they educate the students to go to universities, to be professionals. But in the poor suburbs or the working class, they did this technical manual school, where they training people to be industrial workers, like they teach fashion, they teach metal works, mechanic, commerce, all of these things. It was a dual education in that time in Chile. And then from where I come from, it's a very working class suburb, it's San Miguel, and we saw a lot of the school, but this school, it wasn't scientific, humanistic, it was just to prepare ourselves for to be workers, to go to the factories and all of these kind of things. I'm going to jump that part there. And then, this is very important too. And like I said, we had a dual system there. And the person in that time had an illiteracy rate 3 times higher than urban workers. Now, then the people in the countryside, they were unable to read and was a higher percentage. But the one in the city suburbs, so they had only 10%. They were unable to read and write. Now, in that time too, the president, Eduardo Frei Montalva, offered to the peasant, and at that time was the agrarian reform in Chile. And the president Frei Montalva offered to hand over to the peasant 101,000 small farm to the peasant. But he was unable to give it that. It was only one quarter of what he offered. And then the peasant began to occupy all the farms, and they want to nationalize them, and they want to be able to read and write, and that happened there, okay? But the other thing too, in that time was a very important person in Chile called Paulo Freire, okay? He worked with the Christian Democrat Literacy Program, but I want to show you something here. How do I go? Yeah, okay, this is one of the Christian Democrat Jews to do the program, but this is another one. This is the most important one you will see here. Now, this is how they taught them to read and write. Have a look, what did they use? The Coca-Cola, and then the sea. This is the way, because they want to make a capitalism society, okay? This is one of the things that's very important there. Now, I am going to jump a little bit because I want to talk about the Popular Unit program. And I show you here, first, there are two books. They are very important. They are Unix books. One is from the Salvador Allende and the other one from Eduardo Frei Montalva. And the Frei Montalva, they used the Paulo Freire's psychoanalysis, but they didn't use any pictures. And they make up their words. But when Allende used their literature program, I will pass it on this one, they had meaning, okay? They had objective. What did they want to the people know? And you will see here, this is a very important thing here. Well, the generative words, there's a comparison between the Christian Democratic time plus the Popular Unity time. As you can see there, there are a few things they delete. For example, they never use like guitar. Oh, no, they use guitar. I want to see one of the one is the
guitar.
Some of them are very similar, but in the way they present to the people are different in the how the people will be able to use them. And some of them, as you can see, the Popular Unit had more words. And one is very, very important is cobre, ocupa, underneath there. Because remember Salvador Allende tried to nationalize the cobre, because cobre was the soul of Chile in that time. Look at this one here. The Popular Unit, the generative word, casa, and there is the objective, and it said there, well, you can read down knowledge of housing problem and factor wisdom. I should read the Spanish one and then you do the translation. Mm-hmm. Okay, there, yeah. The other one to Potar, and the other one is education, once again. And this one is the most important one when they talk about Cobre. And the adult education the aim for the Popular Unit program was to check quality in the government society, exercise democratic control over the production and distribution, to stop the historic exploitation for the ruling class, to gain a fair share for Chile's massive natural resources, to gain entry to university. I was one of the products of that part. I went to university free when agenda was in the power, to improve national health and to eliminate the forces of discrimination, especially the Mapuche, the Indian, or the Mapuche, our ancestors in Chile. And the Popular Unit reduced the illiteracy almost 50% in 2 years. And yes, I think I will finish there. There is another book here. It's called The Stylitics and Popular Education in Chile. And there is some up there written by Robert Austin, if you want to see it. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to me. I'm sorry we have to rush.
And Pedro da Silva, welcome to the forum, and you'll speak briefly on East Timor. Thank you, Lilian.
Good afternoon, Ambassador Bonza. Robert and friends, I prepare a note just to read because Robert will have to stop me if I speak without a note. Beyond literacy, reading and writing, arts, literature, and politics in Timor-Leste. Until a new study proves otherwise, Timorese society has been an oral culture society. Strictly speaking, we did not recognize writing and of alphabetics until the Portuguese missionaries built the first school in Lifau, the Timor enclave in 1590, and aimed for evangelization. Until 1974, not more than 5% of the Timorese knew how to read and write. This fact, though, first does not mean that our ancestors lived in a closed society and were not progressive enough to learn writing to be part of their culture. Indeed, Portuguese colonial education discriminated them arbitrarily, teaching the so-called leaders of the clans, Regulus, consequently produced the semi-feudal society, while keeping the majority remain ignorant, was an instrument of colonization. Second, it does not mean also the Timorese did not have literature. Like other societies anywhere on earth, we had literature. Timorese people preserve, even until today, enormous appetite for poetry, oral stories, music, and dances. Literature is practiced and learned mainly through the ancestral house, which is the community house to gather their descendants in regular and eventual basis. It is the basic institution of governance, culture, health, and celebration of the pre-colonial Timorese society. This love of literature is confirmed in the writing of a Portuguese cultural anthropologist, Ezequiel not Morales, Ezequiel Inez Pascual, published in Braga in 1967, in which he noted the spirit of Timor is built in his fantasy, oral history, fables, and tales. After the Movimento Forças Armadas in Portugal overthrew the fascist regime of Estado Novo, which dominated Portuguese politics for nearly 50 years, on April 25, 1974, a group of young Timorese university students, total 20 people, as far as I have been able to identify, returned to Timor-Leste with pens in their pockets, books including a literacy manual of their own creation, Rai Timor, Rai Italian, the Timor is our land, and with lively dreams for freedom in their minds, and their early group arrived in Dili on September 11, 1974. Together with ASDT Fretilin, which were political parties for independence, leaders, and about 200 high school students, they formed a distinct army of the pens. The Mauvera revolution of the army of the pens drew inspirations continentally from extraordinary experiences of the Yan'an schools of the Chinese Communist Party, of the Cuban Revolution in 1959, to the spirit struggle of the African people, including those of Paik and Amika Cabral, Julius Nyerere of Kenya, and Eduardo Mondlane of Mozambique, and to the European thinkers and leaders like Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin. Lastly, Paul Freire's pedagogy of the oppressed for education for liberation was among the great ideas of the time. One thing that our early popular educators distinctively demonstrated in their ability is to combine this Timorese appetite in literature with Latin culture of reading and writing to become a powerful instrument for liberation struggle. This was the pedagogy of the Mauvera Revolution. As I was drafting this essay, I found this message in Facebook. Why? Because God save the ruling classes, Lax Jin. East Timor took 485 years to gain independence from European and Indonesian tyranny. But Fretilin rebels had music with real Jin on their side. Rebels have the best music. www.youtube.com. Posted by a young student in Portugal, Antonio Guterres, in Coimbra, Portugal. Indonesians were proud of their weapons acquired from the big imperialist powers and missed to understand the social dimension of our resistance, and they were defeated in the ballot box in 1999. This spirit of Mauvera revolution is now still alive. This again combines with the Cuban method of Sin Yo Posso, yes I can, and the selfless Cuban Education Brigade. We have been making literacy campaign, inevitably succeeding in Timor-Leste. Less than 4 years since the start of the literacy campaign in May 2007, there are about less than 100,000 or Timorese adults that have studied basic reading and writing skills. This has not included, as I said, the initiatives of social movements and other sectors of the society, like Young Women Group, which had started literacy campaigns since March 2000. This progress will continue to catalyst the success of social development in Timor-Leste. As the campaign goes on, we are in need of keeping the campaign in time and space, and reaffirm and rethink the pedagogy of Mauvera Revolution. Recently, in November 2010, a group of educators ran a mini conference on popular education at the National University of Timor-Leste as another beginning to reconstruct Timorese pedagogy and campaigned, including the Education for All. And they had invited the Minister of Education in early November 2010 to be a keynote speaker. That's the so-called donor countries organized exactly on the same day a parallel conference under the theme Education as an Opportunity. And it is said they have also provided $5 million to invest in education. And the local popular educators group missed to meet their minister on board. To end, I want to draw your attention to the 20 students returned from Portugal in between September in 1974 to 1975. Only two people went back to Lisbon in 1975, and they survived. One more survivor just died a year ago of heart attack. The rest, 17 of them, were all got killed by early 1980s. None of them left. It is our task as educators to bring the cause of our fallen heroes of education to the attention and to continue their revolution. We struggle out of our own sweat and out of sincere solidarity of our friends to make progress, like our friends from Cuba. But our success naturally poses threat to other people. Long live the Mauvera Revolution, long live the Cuban Revolution, long live the friendship between the Cuban people and the Mauvera people. Thank you. I forgot one thing, socialismo o muerte.
Thanks very much, Antero, for finishing 1 minute early, which gives 11 minutes to our next guest, who is Eulalia Reyes from Venezuela. Now, Eulalia has been contemplating returning to Australia for some time, but when we offered her a no-expenses-paid opportunity to participate in this panel, she left on the next plane, and she's now here.
No expenses paid.
Thank you, Eulalia.
When I was calling from Venezuela. Thank you. So maybe, thank you, good afternoon everybody. Maybe I will even need somebody to help me here, please.
Right? You got it.
Okay, let's see what's happened next.
Definitely a generation issue.
Yes, I know. They're ready to.
You can't quite change it though. There we go.
Okay. We have to take that now. Now we're going to Eulalia.
It's okay. It'll come up. Let's just start setting up your USB.
Well, maybe I would prefer to do as Ezequiel Dan, also an educator, and I like to see everybody while I'm talking. So, and maybe my introduction to the mission is to the Mission Robinson. Very proud to show you. And this is it's been the Mission Robinson or Robinson Mission, doesn't matter how far it comes up, is being accomplished by the Yo Si Puedo, as Antero has already put in place. El Yo Si Puedo and Yo Si Puedo Seguir, which is yes, I can go on, yes, I can continue. So, okay, so if on documents, please. Yes.
Robinson.
Mission Robinson. This is, seems to be the Mission Robinson. No, that's not the one. Goodness gracious. It's got to be in English. So that's... Oh, my goodness.
It's okay.
While this is being set up, I'll just mention that in some negotiations, we've decided to go straight to questions, comments, discussion immediately after Eulalia finishes and give the Cuban ambassador, Ambassador Monson, an opportunity to speak a little later in the forum. Hopefully we'll get anybody who has to leave at 2 o'clock an opportunity to participate. So, and if we can limit ourselves to 2 minutes in the first round of questions and comments, please.
Yeah, well, okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Right. So, Mission Robinson is being accomplished by that Yo Si Puedo program in Venezuela. And then, maybe before going on, I'd like to explain why the Robinson, the name of Robinson, that is being inspired by Simon Rodriguez, who was the, Simon Rodriguez is the great philosopher and the tutor of our Simon Bolivar, our liberator. And the great influence of him is just, we wanted to honor that great person, and that's the reason of Robinson Mission. Because that was the also known as Robinson, Simon, our Simon Rodriguez. So now let's see what's going to come here. Yes, our introduction. Now let's go straight into what is the when starts the mission on the 1st of July 2003. After, you know, it was kind of. Since the Bolivarian government of President Chavez started, education was always a priority. And even in the 2000, from the 2000 and 2002, there was an illiteracy program to put in place. But the result didn't really give what was expected. So then, after all the talks and with the cooperation, did I leave my note? I did. Sorry. No. Well, it doesn't matter.
Underneath
your books. Yes, yes. I just tried to. It's like I wanted to go. Okay. Yes. Then yes, this. It comes from the Cuba-Venezuela cooperation, you know, and what, after all those preliminary studies, on the 1st of July, the 2003, the Yo Si Puedo program came together. And then, let's see what's next. What are the goals of the mission? So the first one is got to be to compile with to fulfill the main goal of the United Nations, the goal of the millennium, which was, you know, in education, in the education part, was to decrease the illiteracy situation around the world by 50%. By the year 2015. So Venezuela was very proud to put together that they did work onto that goal, and that this was one of that was the main goal of our mission. But then into the country, we see that it was to include the inclusion, okay, of the 1.5 Venezuelan people that have been excluded from from life in the country. They've been in the obscure. So we need to give the light of knowledge to all those people. And this is a population from 26 million of Venezuelans. So that's the goal. Now I got to explain to you why we do have Robinson 1 and Robinson 2. There are two stages in Robinson. And then that will explain it. Yo sí puedo seguir. Yes, I can go on. It's like the Robinson 1 was to eliminate, to eradicate the illiteracy, while Robinson 2 was to continue, because it was not only to teach to read and write, but it was also to incorporate those people into the life of the country, to be part of the country. So therefore, they have to continue the primary education. So this is about. So what happened with the next one? Who are the participants in that mission and how diverse they are? So this is the large population, the illiteracy population in the country, and those come from, you know, all of this place, marginalized people, places that couldn't to be reached by the education, because as in Cuba, in Chile, Viviana was explaining to us that they had that like a special education, the bright for the rich, while the poor have just to get the be ready to be workers. So that's been the reality in all of Latin America, and that then with the mission we have to incorporate all those. It doesn't matter where they were, you know, they have to be, we have to go looking for them. And there was not anymore the shame of people saying that they didn't know how to write and how to read, because the mission was to call on them, to call on the doors, and let them know that government was ready to help, you know. So then, and that population will include not only those people from the cities and the country, but also a special population, such as the indigenous people and people with Afro-descendant origin, people that were in prisons for the deaf and the blind. That was a special program. But all that was a place in... put in place for them. He's scaring me. So now it's important for me to talk about the participation of volunteers that made possible that we really come along to get the goal of that mission. Okay, President Chavez described that volunteers like the most important civilian military project that have taken place in the country, you know? Because it's true, it was everybody, the society took that mission for them. They have to go on and be part of this. They have to, what the people that knew how to, they knew had, were professional, they were ready to help, they were ready to help lending their places, their patios, their rooms, everywhere, you know, in order that was an open for everybody. And so now I go with, what's the next one? Okay. What is the result of that mission? On the 28th of October, 2002, so Venezuela was placed as a territory free of illiteracy, you know? And the date, that special date, is got a significance, which is that is the date of birth of Simón Rodríguez, again, our honor person for the name of the mission. And why we do have and once we have those consideration of being territorially free of illiteracy, we reached the 99% of the population was literate. So, and of course it was recognized by the United Nations, because in the United Nations they put the level of 95% of population. So yes, Venezuela was considered in 2 years' time, and even before that, as a country free of illiteracy. And then with this over 1.4 million of people and the 70,000 bilingual indigenous, because the program was not only to teach how to read and how to write in Spanish, was also structured in the indigenous language, which were 14. So this is a plus into that program. Yes, and then, do you want me to skip that one?
Bueno, tienes 30 segundos.
Okay, 30 segundos. So I just, yes, you can read, yes, currently the mission doesn't stop. You know, we go on and on, and this is part of what Venezuela is looking for to develop people. So I just go to, don't say it to me that.
Press the arrow to the right.
Here. Yeah. Yeah. No. I just wanted to show you the best part. Come on, Robert. Okay, now this is this. I just want to thank you, everybody, for being part of this. And if there is any question, I'm just humble to answer to you if I can. Thank you very much.